not that long ago, the higher a woman's level of education, the higher were her chances of being childless. But that trend has been reversing over the last 20 years. A new analysis of census data by the Pew Research Center shows that among women with an MD or a PhD, 35% were childless in 1994. Today, it's 20%. The kicker is that not only are highly educated women more likely to have children, they are having more of them. We called Patricia Steinhoff, chair of the Manoa Sociology Department, to get her take on the data and its implications for Hawaii. She joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
As you look at this study, well, compilation of data from the census, is there anything in here that seems to be counterintuitive to all the information that you've seen from the 70s and the 80s?
No, I think it makes good sense. And I'm most impressed that the Pew study not only points to the change in the data, but their explanation of it is absolutely on the mark. They understand that more highly educated women have been flowing into the workplace in career-type jobs, and they have delayed child-rearing so that if you look at earlier age groups, it appears that there are more of them that are childless, but by the time you reach their 40s, which is when you can start to measure completed family size, they've caught up, and they are having children. They are having them later.
They're having them later, but they're also having more of them. It's not just having a child, but it's having several.
Well, not really several. It's having usually two. Slight increase in the number having three, but the dominant number is still the one or two child family.
At this point, when we say women are waiting until later, that also brings up issues of fertility. Are they doing this with help, or are they doing it and we're just seeing numbers of families who are able to have children at a later date?
We don't know from this kind of census data, and that would take much more intensive examination. Certainly, there are more fertility options for women at older ages, and it is much safer for them to be carrying children to term when they're close to 40 or even after 40 than it used to be. So they're more willing to go ahead at a time when 20 or 30 years ago, they might have been counseled not to do so.
In the changes between 1994 and 2014, where so many women were entering the workforce and wondering how they were going to do everything, was there a sense that maybe they were missing out on something by the time they got into their 40s?
By not having children?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that there is a sense that that women have on their bucket list that they want to be mothers. And so more women wanted to have it all. Their aspirations went up. Their education levels went up. They were working at levels that their mothers wouldn't have dreamed of, but they didn't want to give up on other aspects of their lives. So I think that's what we're seeing, is that there was a period when the choice was either be professional or have a family, and many women said, no, I want it all. Of course, there's been a lot of talk in the media recently about women who decide that they can't do it all and drop out of the labor force, but these statistics suggest that the larger trends are quite stable, and that women are able to fulfill both their occupational and their motherhood goals.
For women who are not in college, a lot of women who only finished high school or maybe just started college, in those early 20s, we've also been seeing an uptick in single mothers who are doing this by choice. How do you sort of look at that statistic and some of what we're seeing with this that you say seems, perfectly logical to understand that as mm-hmm. women got older, they would choose to be mothers now that they can and they've completed some of their career opportunities. What about the younger women who are just saying, oh, the heck with it, and doing it because they want to have a baby?
Well, a lot of those babies are, in fact, unplanned. They choose to carry the pregnancy to term, but they did not. The pregnancy itself was accidental. The patterns for less educated women and more educated women have been different for a very long time. And for young women who do not see a great future in work life, choosing to have a child at an early age is for them a way of establishing identity and of fulfilling what for them are the most important goals. So it's not surprising that you see those. Some of the difference is that 50 years ago, they might have been forced into a shotgun marriage that was either unhappy or soon dissolved, and nowadays they are more likely to just remain single and have the child on their own.
At this point, as you look at these numbers and this study or the analysis from mm-hmm. Pew in terms of what we see in Hawaii, where we know how expensive it is
yeah.
to have one child, let alone two or more, and try to put that into some perspective. How do you assess that?
Okay. We can't find exactly comparable figures because the Pew data were massaged by demographers to get to the numbers mm-hmm. that they came up with. But from the general patterns from recent statistics for Hawaii, we have slightly higher educational levels than the U.S. as a whole. The U.S. is 28.2% with a bachelor's degree. Hawaii as a state is 29.4%. Honolulu is 31.8%. As you would expect, the higher education concentrates in the big city. We have about the same age at first marriage in Hawaii as in the U.S. as a whole. But we have a higher number of people in the household. In the U.S. as a whole, it's 2.1. In the state, it's 2.9. It's Honolulu, it's 3.0. And we have a lower number of people living in households with a single parent. It's 35% in the U.S. as a whole and 31% in Hawaii. That suggests that, as we've known for a long time, families are relatively stable in Hawaii. There are more multi-generational families. There are more families around to help with child care and to make sure that children are nurtured properly. Remember, we are also talking about women who have high education. The median household income in Hawaii, although of course it doesn't go as far, but it is substantially higher in Honolulu than in the U.S. as a whole. 50,000 for the U.S., 62,000 for Hawaii, 65,000 for Honolulu. The women that the Pew study is talking about have professional level jobs, so they are the people in the current situation who are more able than the average person to handle the expenses of raising children, whether it's one or two.
So basically, when it comes to Hawaii, perhaps we were leading a trend that we didn't know that we were leading until we saw a lot of this research material that came from Pew. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Patricia Steinhoff is the chair of the sociology department at UH Manoa, although she's known primarily as a Japan specialist. During the 1970s and early 80s, she did extensive work on pregnancy, abortion, and birth control in Hawaii and co-authored the book Abortion Politics, The Hawaii Experience with Milton Diamond. The link to the Pew Research Center analysis is on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation.